This
is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 248, recorded Monday, April 27th, 2015, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast. Now continuing with electric harmonica. Electric kazoo. I don't have the electric harmonica yet. That's on back order.
The electric canoe? She sounds good.
Yeah. I guess it was worth the money. So it's an exciting week.
Is it?
I don't know. I put up a camera so that you could see me because I felt that our new hangout-y relationship was lopsided because I kept seeing you.
I'm sorry. I'll keep mine turned off.
Well, I turned mine off, so I wouldn't feel our relationship was lopsided once you turned yours off.
Okay. But I normally turn it off soon. It starts with the camera on, and you see that.
Well, that's why I put up a camera.
Okay.
To be fair. So you could see me. Also, it's part of a consolidation. I moved some equipment over the weekend. So not only is this computer one that I use for hooking up to you, but I also set it up for whenever people want to do any sort of video conferencing with me. So instead of having a separate hookup for that into my normal computer, I'm using my recording setup for that. One less set of microphones and such. Also created some extra desk space.
There's nothing wrong with desk space.
Yeah, and I might add an extra monitor.
There's never anything wrong with an extra monitor.
But it's only 7 inches.
I'm not sure that counts as a monitor.
It's a monitor.
That's closer to like a watch.
It has a VGA input. No, I got this. It's designed mostly for cars. It's a small monitor with a VGA input. And what I was going to do is have a computer and then basically just have the monitor on top of my other monitors just for the purpose of seeing who's on the other end of a video call. So it would be small enough that when I'm looking at the camera, right behind the camera will be the other person's face.
Interesting. That way, when you look them in the eye, it looks like you're looking them in the eye.
Exactly. And for that, I don't need a gigantic one.
No. Probably better to have it small.
Yeah, if I have a giant picture of you up there, it's going to be a bit scary.
Yes, it would be.
What if you sneeze or, open your mouth and yawn? Anyway, some news. Speaking of 7-inch devices, Google's Nexus 7 tablet has been discontinued.
No more Nexus 7, you say?
Yeah. What am I going to do with mine?
Well, they're discontinuing the Nexus 7 tablet so that they can introduce the Nexus 7 phone, which is the successor to the Nexus 6, which is the successor to the Nexus 5.
So what you're saying is we're going to have a 7-inch phone?
No. The Nexus 6 isn't 6 inches, is it?
It's pretty close.
Well, the Nexus 5 isn't 5 inches. I think it's almost 5, but not 5.
I just want to look that up. Here we are. Nexus 6 screen size is 5.96 inches.
See, not 6 inches.
But rounding, you get pretty close. And the Nexus 5 is 4.95.
See, not 5.
But they're still rounding to the nearest number.
Okay.
So what you're telling me is that the Nexus 7 phone will be 6.95 inches.
Right, not 7 inches.
Close enough.
Close enough.
Okay.
So I just completely made that up.
Okay, well, we don't know.
No, we don't.
There's suspense here, Jerry. And we will have to live with that suspense for an indefinite period of time.
What we do know is that the Nexus 7, in its current iteration, will be no more.
Yep. But there are alternatives. You know what
I was looking at? In a 7-inch tablet? What's a good alternative to a 7-inch tablet?
Well, I was looking at an 8-inch tablet.
Is an 8-inch tablet an alternative to a 7-inch tablet?
Yeah, it's smaller than a 10-inch tablet, but larger than a 7-inch tablet.
Ah, well, you don't say.
I hadn't considered this until somebody in my family purchased a Galaxy Tab 8-inch. And I said, if your phone is 5 inches and you still want extra real estate occasionally, maybe a 7-inch is too close to your 5-inch and maybe an 8-inch would work better for you. That's what I said to myself before I didn't buy anything. But I had this line of thought.
I don't know. I think I go from a 5-inch phone,
yeah,
to a 10-inch tablet, to a 15-inch laptop, to a gazillion-inch desktop.
Yeah, I know how it is with those gazillion inches.
Well, at some point you just stop counting.
Okay, I'll give you that. Once you get above the first zillion. If you are interested in meeting like-minded people, the Big Android Barbecue this year is scheduled for October 22nd and 23rd. That is once again in Texas.
I love that they still do that.
Well, why don't you go this year?
My job won't allow me.
Why? You're not allowed to appear in public any longer?
No, it just it's not that. It's just I've been so overwhelmed with work lately. It just the concept of time off is just such a foreign idea.
But this is October. It's currently April.
Wow.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to come to Jacksonville then. That's the only solution. I'm going to have to come. I'm going to have to take you out of your chair and find something for you to do.
I have something to do. It's called work.
No, I meant not work.
I don't. That's just.
Well, I thought about coming down there this over the weekend. My server in Jacksonville went down for about 9 hours.
I'm sorry to hear that.
They apologize.
Why does that happen?
They told me the apparently their monitoring system that would have told them that it was down was malfunctioning, and they will be working on that. They did appreciate that I told them. They fixed it within an hour of me telling them. It was nice. But that was 8 hours after it initially happened. It took me that long to find somebody to tell. But on a positive note, I found a new IRC chat room to hang out in.
You did? What's that?
The one for my service provider.
Really?
They have their own chat room on Freenode, so... Now, if there's a promotion or a problem, I'm going to watch and see what other people say in there. And either
you mean
way,
for that building downtown? There's an IRC channel for it?
No. The building downtown is where that company has one of their data centers. It's not their only location, and they don't live there or anything.
I'm just wondering if, you know, I could, like, pop in there and go, hey, can I take a tour of your facility without somebody shooting me?
Do you have a background check?
Not recently.
Yeah, because if I remember correctly from what they say, I have it here on their website, and I get a kick out of telling people that I have a presence in a data center in a Federal Reserve building guarded by armed canine units. You have to undergo a background check prior to entry, even if you're a visitor. X-ray and canine units are used to inspect everything physically entering and exiting the facility. It's built to withstand a Category 5 hurricane.
It better be. It's in Florida.
It's still a great sales pitch.
It is.
Well, I rented something in their Los Angeles facility, and it's not quite impressive. It's just a picture of a door. Anyway, that aside, let's get back to business. If you're interested, the Big Android Barbecue is scheduled for October 22nd and 23rd. I don't know if I'll go. I've considered going, but I've never gone.
It just sounds like too many people for me.
How many people would be the ideal number of people to attend an event that you would have participated?
One.
Okay.
I'm getting pretty antisocial lately.
So basically, you cannot tolerate any social event larger than this podcast?
Well, no. I mean, I can tolerate it, but that doesn't mean I'm going to like spend a whole bunch of money and go search it out.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out my next conference. I've tried to make it a goal to go to more events where I meet other people who share interests with me.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yep. So I think I mentioned I'm still trying to build Homebrew Website Club New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Attendance was disappointing. It was bad weather last Wednesday, and some people who said they were going to come didn't. There's always next month. But I want to go and meet new and exciting people. So if anybody here has a suggestion for an event I might find interesting for me to attend in your home city, hopefully your home city isn't too expensive to get to. Remember, I afforded Boston, but Boston's like 3 hours from here. So if you have any suggestions, maybe I will come to your city. How's that for an endorsement, Jerry?
I like it.
Yes. Bring an Android Buffet co-host to your city with the enticement of some sort of event. Anyway, moving along. A prankster has put an image of Android urinating on the Apple logo in a map of Pakistan.
Sure, because why not? What?
Didn't you see the picture? The My Map creator allowed, you know, as part of the crowdsourcing of Google Map data, somebody created the image of the Android logo urinating on the Apple logo in apparently somewhere in near Rawalpindi, Pakistan. And Google has said that this was caused by inappropriate user-created content. Yeah, well, Google's already involved in a map scandal. I'm not sure if you heard about the Edward Snowden at the White House.
No.
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
No.
Basically, if I understand correctly, somebody discovered a glitch in the Google Places thing, you know, that shows the little icons on the map for when you want to do a business or a point of interest.
Right.
So they discovered, if I understand correctly, that the way that Google does this is to verify that you indeed have access to that address, they send a postcard there, and then you're a verified address. So the postcard has a number on it. You go enter it in.
Right.
But apparently, once you verify the location, you can apparently disassociate it, reassociate it with a new account, and then, since it's already a verified location, move its address. So he verified the Edward Snowden to his own personal address and then did this sort of unfortunate hack that Google refuses to fix, because apparently they do know about it, and then reassigned it to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, so the price of not having enough human review, which is one of the reasons why Google apparently is putting more human review into the Play Store, but not always in other areas. I'm pausing for dramatic effect or in case you have a comment.
Okay.
Okay. Did you have a comment? So
I'm commenting.
Apparently you can now send directions to your phone from your computer by typing send directions into your Google search. So I believe last week we had, you can type find your phone into your Google search to find your phone. Now you can type send directions into your Google search to send directions to your phone.
Yes. Although you don't say send directions for one thing or another, you just type send directions. And then the starting point is where your phone is. That's weird.
Well, one would assume.
But I guess that could be cool if you're at a computer and you could send directions to your wife's phone or girlfriend's or
Tend to think of it the other way. I'm going to leave my house and go somewhere, and I have the directions up, you know, or I have the location information up. I can just go to the Google search and send that to my phone without having to do very much. If you remember in the old days, they had that Chrome extension send to phone.
Yes.
So basically they said, we don't need that anymore. Just type it into your Google search. So basically it's the same thing they had before, except now no extension.
I like it. I mean, I just tried it and it works very well.
Yeah. So what's the next thing you want Google to allow you to type into your search box?
I don't know. Call so-and-so, send a text to so-and-so, but I don't know.
I don't know either. That's why I asked.
I don't know.
Well, maybe somebody will have a good suggestion.
I am without the knowing.
Don't worry, Jerry.
It will come to you. I am knowingless.
It will come to you. So how about this? Google has announced Project Fi, which is their MVNO. So for $20 a month, you get unlimited talk and text, and it's $10 per gigabyte of data. And in order to use
this... Does that include tethering?
I didn't look. Let's see if it does actually include tethering. I assume it does. Why would Google want to charge more for tethering, considering that they want you to use the internet?
I don't know.
So
it does. $20 a month, you get all the basic. Talk, text, Wi-Fi, tethering.
Don't forget international text and low-cost international calls.
In 120 countries. Wow, that'd be neat.
All you need is a Nexus 6. And
doesn't work for the Nexus 5?
Apparently no. But I can't imagine that they're not, if they keep this going for any length of time, that they're not going to try to include at least one more phone. Although it may be the Nexus 6 plus 1 or whatever the next one is. They might not be able to support this on third-party phones. Because the multiple networks and the Wi-Fi calling and the way they've set it up, I think, requires more control.
Oh, this is cool. The 120 countries, yeah. One of which is Ecuador.
I believe you have a vested interest in calling Ecuador, don't you?
Actually, no. Apparently, what it means is that your phone still works if you're in that country. If you travel to that country, your phone is still fine. Your data cost does not change, which is amazing. But your speeds are slowed down.
Yeah, this is the T-Mobile model where they give you 2G in other countries. I would bet.
And if you want to call them, then it's 20 cents a minute, which is not great, but not bad.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that international 2G speed thing, isn't that what T-Mobile does? And they are using T-Mobile as one of their carriers, so they probably were able to piggyback on their negotiations, theoretically speaking.
Wow.
So you interested? You're going to sign up for an invite?
I'm thinking about it.
Okay, well, keep me posted. I'm not ready to change networks again. Although I am still
waiting. I just need to figure out what phone I need.
A Nexus 6.
It only works for Nexus 6.
Right now, yes. I don't know if that's going to change in the future. But because they're using Sprint and T-Mobile, you need a phone that supports CDMA and GSM. There are only two phones that commonly do that are open and locked, the 5 and the 6. I assume there must be a reason why they're not going to support the 5, probably end of life. But they may support the 6 and whatever comes after the 6. We'll see. It may be that the Nexus 6. What will you do with your 5?
I said I don't know if I want one.
If you got one, what would you do with your 5?
I don't know.
Well, why don't you ask Murph? He has a Nexus 6. I saw it. It's real. But he's on Verizon. So anyway, moving along. F-Droid now has an online web version of its market. Do you remember F-Droid from many moons ago when we discussed it?
It's the free and open source software stuff.
Basically, right? It's a repository of open source Android apps.
Woo!
So they now have this lovely web version, which we've never mentioned before, which looks, if you look at it, it looks very familiar, doesn't it?
Does.
Design-wise.
So it looks very similar to Windows.
I was going to say it looks very similar to the Play Store. It's the same basic design. It's obviously different, but it's trying to be reminiscent of that particular option. So you can download all sorts of open source software. For example, if you are interested in internet, you can download Firefox, K9 Mail, DavDroid, which is a contacts and calendar sync program, OwnCloud, an XMPP client called Conversations. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know they had one. ConnectBot or Web. So all sorts of things for Android that are completely open source.
Yay!
They even have Fennec. I haven't seen Fennec in years. Oh, and Facebook Lite. That's apparently an open source. That's apparently an open source app. That's apparently a wrapper around the Facebook. Despite the fact that a wrapper around the Facebook site is open source, having Facebook Lite in your open source software repository just seems wrong.
Why?
I don't know. It just seems wrong.
Okay.
Anyway, moving along there into other news. The real cost of a free app. So this story made the rounds this week. Apparently, the cost of a free app is 79% more data use and a 16% battery hit.
Wow. That's valuable information right there.
I think I'd rather pay for the thing.
Right?
Well, I usually do. I don't like ads.
79% more. And that extra data. Yeah, wow.
Also, remember, I'm on a metered plan. An extremely metered plan.
Well, you're on Ting, right?
Yeah, but I'm still waiting for my Karma to show up. Did I tell you I ordered one of those things?
No.
Did you hear about that?
Mm-mm.
Karma is another one of these little hotspots where, remember I had one in a different company that where instead of it being a monthly service, it's you buy the data and you use it until it runs out?
Yes.
So Karma was offering, you could pre-order their new LTE hotspot. So I pre-ordered it last year, and I'm still waiting for it to show up. Apparently, it's lost in construction.
No.
What?
They
sent me an email.
Saying we're still working on it?
Well, let's see. Where did we leave up here? I ordered the thing on November 29th, 2014, and my last update was April 21st. We're still on track to start delivering in May. Admittedly, they were on track to start delivering in December. They've completed a test run with their manufacturer, and they're waiting for, network testing and certification. And then they'll be shipping out to each person in the order that each reservation was placed. I'm not the only one to order one. I think Murph ordered one, too.
Okay.
So, but the nice thing about them is if I do that, then I could use a lot more data and use almost nothing on my phone when I'm just sitting around. Unfortunately, it hasn't been built yet.
That's a problem.
But I was really optimistic because they have an earlier product.
Well, I was optimistic about my Droid Fi too.
Hopefully I won't have wasted my money. They did offer me a refund. And they did say there was a money-back guarantee.
All right. Well, let's go back to this free apps thing because, okay, interesting numbers.
Yeah.
On average, the apps use 79% more network data, costing an average of 1.7 cents every time they're used, based on average cost per megabyte price for AT&T.
I wonder if how much you're costing versus how much they're making. So how much is the developer making for what I'm paying?
Not near that.
I think I'd rather give them the $3 and be done with it.
Yeah.
What's that expression, penny wise and pound foolish?
Yippers. Okay. Anyway, that's amazing.
Yep.
That's a lot of ads.
But it would be very different if any of the ads were for anything I was in any way interested in. I have never seen a relevant mobile ad.
For them to be relevant to you, they have to track you. And that's, you can't have relevant and privacy at the same time.
Yeah, but some ads, even though they're not perfect, seem like they might know a little more about me. You know, Google has something of a profile on me. Admittedly, it's usually wrong. But at least there's, that's the counter argument to tracking. It's basically, I want, to some degree, I would like a company to show me relevant ads, even if I tell them what's relevant.
Sure.
I keep forgetting. Where is that setting where it tells you, oh, here we are. My interests on Google are unknown. So I've been using Google for years, and yet they still don't know what I'm interested in. Nice to know. Last time they thought I was an 80-year-old man, so it's an improvement. Now they don't know me at all. Sorry, I just find that funny. Twitter has introed a feature called Highlights, where it will push things to your notification shade that it thinks you want to know about, getting back to contextual information.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're annoyed about ads, how would you feel if Twitter is telling you what interesting tweets it thinks you want to hear about?
I'd probably be annoyed, but I'm easily annoyed.
Me too. Not on everything, but on things like this. I want, what's the term serendipity? Is that the term I'm looking for?
You know what? I have no idea.
Well, no, the concept of you discovering things that you otherwise wouldn't have discovered outside of your normal frame of reference. I think they refer to it as serendipity. Obviously, there's a more literal meaning to the word. But that idea that if I'm always seeing things that I want to see, and I'm not saying things, essentially I'm in a feedback loop where the only types of things I see are things that I've chosen to. Occasionally, yeah. Things related to what I'm chosen to see that are a little outside of my comfort zone would be very nice. But it's really hard to get that right. Have you noticed that any algorithm that tries to figure out what it is you like is usually wrong?
Yes. Although Netflix is getting pretty good.
Well, that's the thing. The more data you funnel into a system, the better it might get.
Might.
Well, that depends on how well they're doing it. What about Amazon is probably my favorite example, and they've really toned down the if you like this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see what they're recommending here, just quickly. Oh, I should buy a surge protector, because people who bought a Roku bought surge protectors. Okay, that's probably a good idea. Oh, I should buy a bail-in. Anyway, not really useful. Moving back, SwiftKey has added a hub for quick setting changes and part of their new Dashlane support. These are features that are currently in beta, which will roll out to the stable version soon. Are you still using SwiftKey?
Yes.
Okay, are you interested in Dashlane support?
I don't know what that is.
You've heard of LastPass? It's a, yes. Dashlane is a password manager.
Oh.
It's
guess what?
What?
No, not interested. Why? Because I have LastPass.
Okay. Well, not everybody works with the same company.
That's cool.
So they're working with Dashlane, and Dashlane has some nice features. I'm not saying that I'm switching, because I'm also a LastPass user, but they're the people who started out with changing a lot of different passwords on a lot of different sites regularly. LastPass has that feature in sort of a beta, but these guys are farther ahead with that and a few other things. They also do digital wallets. But, there's room for competing products in the market. Which I appreciate, because if I get too annoyed with one product, there's competition, which there isn't with my cable company. We'll get to that later. Anyway, Android Wear has been updated. They're now supporting sync over Wi-Fi, except for one device.
Yours?
Well, I did buy it cheap and used. It was the first device. I'm not surprised. Apparently, all of the Android Wear devices have Wi-Fi capability, but the LG G Watch, which is the one that I have, which I bought to play with Android Wear, when it was being severely discounted on Cowboom, they never put an antenna in. So it won't support it because while the chip technically supports Wi-Fi, they didn't install an antenna, whereas pretty much all the other ones, they had an antenna. It was there waiting.
Well, that's cutting corners for you.
I paid very little for that thing, comparatively speaking. I can't complain.
Sure, and that's how.
Well, no, it was the original retail price was significantly higher. The current list price on Amazon is significantly higher. I don't know. I'm not going to buy another watch. If I considered replacing my smartwatch, I'd wait for the Pebble Time. Although I'm not sure if I'm going to buy that either. I keep buying these things when they're cheap. I've never bought one at full list price, and I'm not sure I would. Moving along, Google Keep has added note browsing to Android Wear. I like Google Keep. If only I was more organized to use it. I keep saying I need to make a shopping list, and I keep forgetting. Excuse me. Sorry, that was me. Sneezing. Outlook for Android is no longer a preview.
Woo!
If you're interested. I'm sort of impressed with the whole Microsoft makes Android apps thing.
They make iOS apps, too.
I know. I'm just impressed that they've moved away from refusing to participate in other platforms because they're not theirs.
Yep. That's Apple's job now.
Yeah. We have a story about that later. Pocket Casts was updated with drag-and-drop ordering and other fixes that were based on user feedback.
Sweet.
So basically, people told them when they did their redesign, what they didn't like about it, and they changed it.
Gotta love that.
I love responsive developers. Also, these guys have really interesting change logs. Action Launcher, if you still care about launchers, has been updated with over a dozen new features. And if you do care about launchers, Action Launcher is actually a pretty unique one. It isn't like other launchers.
Yeah. Hence, it's unique.
Thus the uniqueness. No, I'm saying most, Nova Launcher, which is very popular, for example, is an enhancement on the stock launcher. It's iterating on that, adding more features. Action Launcher, the developer was trying to do something different. Admittedly, it's not crazy in terms of its difference, but they were trying to do new features that were not just iterations on stock. And I appreciate that. LibreOffice, which is the Android version, now has support for editing documents. They've been working on that on and off for a while.
LibreOffice is still a thing?
Of course it is. What do you use? Okay. You must be a Office. Google Docs person.
No.
LibreOffice was OpenOffice, and then OpenOffice forked because of issues with Oracle, who inherited it and tried to re-license it under a more restrictive license. LibreOffice is still around, and there is an Android version. There is commentary that the Libre and the OpenOffice people may get back together, but nothing's confirmed yet. There may be a reconciliation. Stay tuned for more developments as they develop.
Yes.
Yeah. And Dash Clock, a new version, is in beta. It has a materialized configuration page, but apparently not much else because Dash Clock by itself actually is pretty complete. I don't think there's really much more to iterate on it. I think it was very well designed. Have you used Dash Clock, Jerry?
No, because I don't do a... No. I'm a beautiful widgets dude.
Yeah, but you understand the concept. It's an extensible widget.
Yes.
So I like the design of it in that Roman Nurek, who launched in and also did Muse, which is the extensible background thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way that he designs these things with these extensions that a lot of people can go into. So basically a unified way to do the same thing. I love that idea in anything, be it a widget, be it a background, be it insert thing here. So I just like the design of it. I have silenced you again.
It's pretty. What do you
No, I'm talking about, the infrastructure, not necessarily the aesthetics.
Oh.
I thought as, a programmer, you would appreciate the infrastructure idea here. The way that it was designed, not necessarily what it did, which what it did is a different question. I like the openness of it.
Okay.
Apple is apparently rejecting apps for declaring Pebble Watch support. On the basis that apparently their agreement says that you cannot mention another platform in the description.
Wow.
Apparently now that they have a watch, they're enforcing that.
That's crazy.
That's why I thought I'd mention it. Apparently the Senate is going to renew bulk telephone metadata collection, which was part of the Patriot Act. It's set to expire June 1st. Apparently the government is renewing its authority for certain parts of it to watch everything you're doing. Not what you're doing, but who you're doing it with, when you're doing it, and what time you're doing it.
Okay, but to be clear, this just means that they put a bill up, not that it's going to happen, or not even that it has much support.
It'll pass. I am making that prediction right now for one very simple reason. It is 14 years after 9/11, and this thing has been reauthorized several times.
Yeah, but I think we're kind of getting tired of it.
I don't know. Recently, I was watching that John Oliver show when he the clip where he went to go see Edward Snowden.
Yep, I've seen it.
Yes, and just before that, he interviewed a bunch of people in the, I believe it was the New York area, judging by the background, and asked them who Edward Snowden was.
Wasn't that depressing?
Wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Apparently, mass media has accomplished their goal. Nobody knows who they are, who he is, and those people who do know who he is think he's a traitor.
So, you really think the bulk telephone metadata collection is going to stop? I think all of us have gotten used to being spied on by the U.S. government, which is depressing. And it's not just the U.S. government, it's the British government and certain other governments.
Well, there goes my happy place for the day. Thank you very much.
You want a different happy place? I'll try to think of something happy. Verizon Wireless won't try to keep you if you want to leave. So apparently they believe they have a premium product and expect to be paid for it, so they will not be cutting their rates. So 138,000 customers left in the last 3 months.
But sweet.
They don't care. Those people obviously didn't care about a premium product. They only cared about money.
Okay.
Silicon Dust is trying to kickstart an HD Home Run DVR. You're familiar with the HD Home Run, right?
Yes.
Okay, for those people who are not, it is a network-attached tuner. The original ones would either do unencrypted cable or broadcast. They still have those, but they added one that uses cable card, which, as a Time Warner customer, is completely useless to me.
Really?
Well, they mark everything as under the heaviest encryption standards that are allowed under copy control flags.
Really?
So that mean, yeah.
That's, I'm not even, is that even legal?
You mean the same government that's renewing bulk telephone metadata collection? There was a law that that sort of touched this, but the government previously said that you had to completely unencrypt broadcast channels on a cable line, but the government moved to reduce that. So the FCC no longer requires companies to put anything out without heavy encryption. So the problem is that they won't license the software to Linux, since obviously they're concerned about piracy.
Right.
So you need a closed system, and that, and I'm not getting one. I am not building my home theater PC on Windows. But this is actually very promising, because what they're trying to do is a home run DVR that could be run on a Linux computer or a network-attached storage device. It would record in an encrypted format, and since one of the playback platforms would be Android, apparently Android does have, I forget what the standard is. There's some sort of standard for DLNA with an encryption key.
Yeah.
So basically the recording platform would be open source. The playback platform would be closed source. Not sure if I'm happy or unhappy about that. Roku, unfortunately, since I have a bunch of Rokus here, will not be supported because they do not support the necessary protocols. But it's an interesting idea, which is why I thought I'd mention it. Also, since I'm on a cable kick at the moment, Comcast has retracted its bid for Time Warner Cable.
Are you happy about that?
Well, it depends. From the Comcast perspective, am I happy? Or from the Time Warner Cable perspective, am I happy? As a Comcast shareholder, I'm very disappointed. Because I want the money that I have invested in Comcast to only increase. And that would increase if they conquer the entire country in terms of broadband service. As a consumer and as a regular citizen, I am concerned about Comcast having the possibility of owning 57% of the nation's broadband market and claiming there's still competition. And I am pleased that my cable company, which is at the moment number two, will not be merging with number one, although there are rumors they're going to start looking at number three.
Hmm. Who is number three?
I forget. I think Cox. Is it Cox or Charter is number three? We can look this up. Cable companies by size. List of cable television companies by country. Let's see. Here we are. Three is Cox, four is Charter.
Okay.
So Comcast, then Time Warner, then Cox, then Charter, then Verizon Fios, then AT&T. So we'll see what happens. Either way, they're leaving me alone right now.
Cool.
That's always a good thing. Anytime I talk to the cable company, I get angry. Them and Sirius Radio. But that's
sorry to hear that.
That's a whole other story. Why, have you talked to those people?
No, I remember your stories about it.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to avoid it again. Once again, my family is trying to get me to do their customer service dirty work. I turned off Sirius XM in my car because I didn't want to talk to them. But you know, every time you get out, they just keep pulling you back in. So want to do this again next week, Jerry?
Ooh, can we? Can we?
How about roughly the same time? 10 o'clock on the 4th.
I like it.
Okay, do you have any final thoughts or any sort of housekeeping you'd like to address?
No, I'm kind of, I don't know, what can I say?
Depressed?
I'm kind of burned out right now.
Well, I thought I might have depressed you with my talk of the fact that the government's watching you.
Nah.
I'm trying to think of a happy thought for you.
Don't worry about it. On even sadder news, in just a few days, A Knight's Tale will no longer be available on Netflix.
Which one was that?
It's Heath Ledger plays a guy who fakes his way into becoming a knight. It's the original, well, maybe not original, but it's one of those fake it till you make it movies.
Oh.
It's got a really, it's got a hard rock musical track. It's really good.
Okay, I didn't see it. I remember Heath Ledger, though. He's dead. I'm sorry. We got back to the negative note, didn't we?
Anyway, so let's call it a night before it gets any more negative.
I hope everybody has a happy week. If you'd like to tell us about your happy experiences this week, please contact us at podcast@androidbuffet.com. Use our feedback form. Use any of our social media channels. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Google+. We'd love to hear from you. Say something positive. Jerry needs it. He's burned out.
I am.
And I could use it too. It's been a bit depressing a few weeks. Happy news.
Happy, happy.
Well, you know, you have to ask or nobody will volunteer. So if you have something nice to say. Oh, we do have one comment in the chat room. Ad Oliver has said, you would think that Google wouldn't be so aggressive about Pebble Watch descriptions. They're actually not. It was Apple who's aggressive against Pebble Watch descriptions. Apparently, since they're not under fire for anti-competitive practices, they can discriminate against their competitors as much as they want.
Yep.
Shall we adjourn for the evening?
Let's do it.
Okay. Good night, Jerry.
Good night.